Chapter 24. Ferus Manus smote all around with his fists, twin balls of silver steel that crushed bone and clove armour wherever they struck. His gun was discarded, his load of ammunition long since expended, but he needed no mere weapon to be a lethal killing machine. No blade could wound him, and no shot could penetrate his armour, his every movement a fluid economy of motion as he killed with every stride, pushing the fighting wedge of the Morlocks deeper into the traitor lines. The sword at his waist hung like a lead weight of cosmic justice at his side, but he would not draw it, not until he faced his traitorous brother and revealed its terrible purpose before taking his revenge. He longed to push ahead of his warriors, to carve a bloody path through the traitors in search of Fulgrim. But while the battle still hung in the balance, he could not set aside his duty of command, and seek a duel with the viperous Primarch to settle once and for all the enmity between them. The fire and clamour of war surrounded him. Smoke boiled from wrecked tanks and shattered defences, and explosions of gunfire filled the air with bullets, bolts and lasers. Screams and blood filled his senses, the chaotic nature of the battlefield a morass of thousands upon thousands of warring Astartes. Even through his fury, Ferus saw the horrific tragedy being played out upon the stage of Istvan V. Nothing would ever be the same again after this battle, even in their final victory. This betrayal would stain forever the honour of the Astartes, no matter the outcome. Men will fear us from this day onwards, and they will be right too, thought Ferus. He heard the cries of jubilation behind him, but it was some moments before their substance penetrated his killing rage. He crushed the skull of a warrior of the Sons of Horus in his mighty fist and turned to see the welcome sight of an aerial armada of gunships dropping from orbit. "My brothers!" he yelled triumphantly as he recognised the familiar iconography of his fellow loyalists. Alpha Legion Thunderhawk screamed over the battlefield, and the midnight-skinned vessels of the Night Lords swooped in to take position on the flanks to envelop the War Master's forces. Word-bearer Stormbirds howled in on screaming jets, the gold wings on the glacis of their craft shimmering as though afire in the glow of battle. Heavy transports of the Iron Warriors slammed into the Urgal Depression and disgorged thousands of warriors, who immediately began fortifying the landing zones with armoured barricades and looping coils of razor wire. Tens of thousands of his fellow Astartes poured onto the surface of Istvan V, and in a single stroke the Loyalist force was more than doubled in size. Ferus punched the air in righteous vindication as he watched the power and might of his brother's legions fill the black desert behind him, their warriors fresh meat for the battle. His Vox unit chimed urgently as a ripple of fear visibly passed along the traitor lines at the sight of such a terrifying display of martial power. His practiced eye could see that the traitor forces had lost their stomach for the slaughter, entire cohorts pulling back from their prepared positions in dismay. Even the Dies Irae was retreating, the mighty Titan cowed in the face of such overwhelming force. Ferus saw the distant form of Mortarion ushering his warriors back towards the ruined fortress, and even Angron was retreating, his blood-stained world-eaters like some monstrous bloody tribe of headhunters. But the Emperor's children... The smoke parted before him, and Ferus saw what he had been looking for ever since he had set foot on this damned planet. Clad in shimmering armour of purple and gold, he saw Fulgrim. His former brother drew his most debased followers to him, waving them back to the black walls with long sweeps of a glittering silver blade. A long haft of ebony, worked with silver and gold, extended behind his shoulder, and Ferus smiled grimly as he realised that his brother had also understood that the fates had ordained this duel must take place upon the blasted plain of Istvan V. Twisted freaks in flesh-covered armour surrounded the Primarch of the Emperor's children, and a monster with red seared flesh attended at his right hand. Only now, at the end, did Fulgrim dare to reveal himself. Even as Ferus finally saw Fulgrim, he knew that his brother too was aware of him. He felt hate and betrayal rise in him like a suffocating wave. The traitors were falling back from the loyalists with increasing speed, leaving thousands of corpses behind them, both friend and foe. The scale of the slaughter was not lost on Ferus, and though his blood sang with this victory and his imminent confrontation with Fulgrim, he was not blind to the fact that the loyalist legions had suffered appalling casualties to win it. He watched the enemy line melt before him, the loyalist warriors, exhausted by the furious battle, stumbling as their enemy fled before them. He called his Morlocks to him before opening a channel to Korax and Vulcan. "The enemy is beaten!" he shouted. "See how they run from us! Now we push on! Let none escape our vengeance!" Grainy static washed through the reply, Korax's words almost lost amid the rumbling thunder of explosions and the descent of yet more allied dropships. "Hold, Ferus! The victory may yet be ours, but let our allies earn their share of honour in this battle. We have achieved a great victory, but not without cost. My legion is bloodied and torn, as is Vulcan's. I cannot imagine yours has not shed a great deal of blood to carry us this far."
"We are bloodied, but unbowed," snarled Ferus, watching as the distant figure of the fabulously bedecked Fulgrim climbed to the top of a jagged spur of black rock and spread his arms in blatant challenge. Even from hundreds of meters away, the mocking smile twisting his features was clearly visible.
"As are we all," put in Vulcan. "We should take a moment to catch our breath and bind our wounds before again diving headlong into such a terrible battle. We must consolidate what we have won and let our newly arrived brothers continue the fight while we regroup."
"No!" shouted Ferus. "The traitors are beaten, and all it will take is one final push to destroy them utterly."
"Ferus," warned Korax, "do not do anything foolish. We have already won." Ferus snapped off the Vox channel and turned to face the surviving Morlocks of his bodyguard. A half-century of Terminators surrounded him, their clawed gauntlets crackling with blue arcs of energy, and their proud stances telling him they would follow whatever order he gave, whether it be to retreat or to march into the hell of battle once more.
"Let our brothers rest and lick their wounds," he yelled. "The Iron Hands will let no others have the satisfaction of settling our affairs with the Emperor's children."
Fulgrim smiled as Ferus Manus renewed his attack into the heart of the defensive lines atop the Urgal Depression. Backlit by the flaring strobe of battle, his brother was a magnificent figure of vengeance, his silver hands and eyes reflecting the fires of slaughter with a brilliant gleam. For the briefest second, Fulgrim had been sure that Ferus would pause to muster with the Raven Guard and Salamanders, but after his daring challenge atop the rock, there would be no restraining his brother. Around him, the last of the Phoenix Guard awaited the blunt wedge of the Iron Hands, their golden halberds held low and aimed towards their foes. Marius and his wailing sonic weapon howled in anticipation of the combat, and Julius, almost unrecognizable with his skin burnt from his bones, ran a blistered tongue around the lipless ruin of his mouth. Ferus Manus and his Morlocks charged through the shattered ruin of the defences, his black armour and their burnished plates scarred and stained with the blood of enemies. Fulgrim's fixed smile faltered as he truly appreciated the depths of hatred his brother held for him, and wondered again how they had come to this point, knowing that any chance for brotherhood was lost. Only in death could this end. The retreat of the War Master's forces appeared ragged and faltering, exactly as Horus had planned it. Warriors streamed back from the front lines of battle in determined groups, their spirits apparently broken, but gathering in knots of resistance behind shelled ruins and fire-blackened craters. The Iron Hands pushed through the defences, the bulky Terminators unstoppable in their relentless advance. Lightning crackled from the claws of their gauntlets, and their red eyes shone with anger. The Phoenix Guard braced themselves to meet the charge, fully aware of the power of such mighty suits of armour. Marius released a howl of ecstatic joy, and his bizarre weapon amplified it into a screeching wail of deadly harmonics that ripped through the ground in a roaring sonic wave to explode amongst the front ranks of the Morlocks. The giant warriors were torn apart in a clashing shriek of aural power as the apocalyptic noise made play of their armour and butter of their flesh. The Emperor's children screamed in pleasure at the sound, their enhanced senses and augmented brain paths rendering the discordant sounds into the most vivid sensations imaginable.
"When they come," shouted Fulgrim, "leave Ferus Manus to me."
The Phoenix Guard answered with a terrible war cry and leapt to meet the Morlocks in a searing clash of blades. Electric fire leapt from the golden edges of the halberds and claws of the warriors, and a storm of light and sound flared from each life-and-death struggle. The battle engulfed the Primarch of the Emperor's children, but he stood above it, awaiting the dark-armoured giant who strode inviolate through the lightning-shot carnage as brothers hacked at one another in hatred. Fulgrim nodded in greeting as Ferus reached towards a sword belted at his waist, and he smiled as he recognised Fireblade's hilt.
"You remade my sword," said Fulgrim,
his voice cutting through the atrocious din of fighting. Though the ferocious battle between the Morlocks and the Phoenix Guard surrounded them, neither Primarch's Praetorians dared approach them, as though aware that to transgress this fateful confrontation would be a heinous crime.
"Only to see you dead by a weapon forged by my own hand," spat Ferus.
In response, Fulgrim sheathed his silver sword and reached behind him to unlimber the great warhammer held at his back.
"Then I shall do likewise."
The great weight of Forgebreaker, the weapon his own skill and energies had crafted beneath the peaks of Mount Narodnia, felt good in his hands as he descended the rock to face his erstwhile brother.
"It is fitting we face one another with the weapons we forged long ago," said Fulgrim.
"I have long waited for this moment, Fulgrim," replied Ferus, "ever since you came to me with betrayal in your heart. For months I have dreamt of this reckoning. Only one of us will walk away from this. You know that."
"I know that," agreed Fulgrim.
"You betrayed the Emperor, and you betrayed me," said Ferus,
and Fulgrim was surprised to hear genuine emotion in his brother's voice.
"I came to you because of our friendship, not despite it," answered Fulgrim. "The universe is changing, the old order upset, and a new dawn approaching. I offered you the chance to be part of the new order, but you threw it back at me."
"You sought to make me a traitor," snarled Ferus. "Horus is mad. Look at all this death. How can this be right? You will hang from traitor's gibbet for this sedition, for I am the Emperor's loyal servant, and through me his will and vengeance will be done."
"The Emperor is a spent force," snapped Fulgrim. "Even now he whittles away on some trivia in the dungeons of Terra, while his realm is in flames. Are those the actions of a being fit to rule the galaxy?"
"Do not think you can win me to your cause, Fulgrim. You failed once, and you will not get a second chance."
Fulgrim shook his head.
"I am not offering you a second chance, Ferus. It is already too late for you and your warriors."
Ferus laughed at him, but he could sense the despair in it.
"Are you mad, Fulgrim? It's over. You and the War Master are defeated. Your forces are routed, and the power of another four legions will soon crush your attempt at rebellion utterly."
Fulgrim was unable to keep the sensations seething in his head contained any longer, and he shook his head as he savoured his next words.
"My brother, how naive you are. Do you really think Horus would be foolish enough to trap himself like this? Look
to the north, and you will see that it is you who are undone. The forces of the Raven Guard and Salamanders fell back in good order to the drop zone, where their reinforcements were deploying to join the fight. The dropships of the Iron Warriors' armoured bastions, connected by high walls of spiked barricades, formed an unbroken line of grim fortifications on the northern slopes of the Urgal Depression. A force larger than that which had first begun the assault on Istvan mustered in the landing zone, armed and ready for battle, unblooded and fresh. Korax and Vulcan led their forces back to regroup, and to allow the warriors of their brother Primarchs a measure of the glory in defeating Horus, dragging their wounded and dead with them. The victory had been won, but the cost had been steep indeed, with thousands of all three legions lost to the betrayal of the Warmaster. Horus's forces were in retreat, but there would be no celebration of the slaughter, no joyous victory feasts or glorious days of remembrance. Only another sad scroll added to a banner that would never again see the light of day. Scorched tanks rumbled alongside the Astartes, their ammunition expended, and their hulls battered by the impact of shot and shell. Unanswered vox hails requested medical aid and supply, but the line of Astartes at the top of the North Ridge was grimly silent, as the exhausted warriors of the Raven Guard and Salamanders came to within 100 meters of their allies. A lone flare shot skyward from inside the Black Fortress where Horus had made his lair, exploding in a hellish red glow that lit the battlefield below like a madman's vision of the end of the world. And the fire of betrayal roared from the barrels of 1,000 guns. Fulgrim laughed at the stunned look on Ferris's face as the forces of his allies opened fire upon the Salamanders and Raven Guard. Hundreds died in the fury of the first moments, hundreds more in the seconds following, as volley after volley of bolter fire and missiles scythed through their unsuspecting ranks. Explosions flashed to life in their midst, vaporizing warriors and tearing through tanks as the force of 4 legions ripped the beating heart from the first wave of loyalists. Ferus Manus watched in mute horror as he saw a storm of fire engulf Korax and a titanic explosion mushroom skyward from where Vulcan stood in astonished outrage at what was happening. Even as terrifying carnage was being wreaked upon the loyalists below, the retreating forces of the Warmaster turned and brought their weapons to bear on the enemy warriors within their midst. Hundreds of world-eaters, sons of Horus and the Death Guard, fell upon the veteran companies of the Iron Hands, and though the warriors of the 10th Legion continued to fight gallantly, they were hopelessly outnumbered and would soon be hacked to pieces. Ferus Manus turned to face Fulgrim, and the Primarch of the Emperor's Children could see the despair etched into his brother's features, his silver eyes dull and lifeless. To have so great a victory snatched away in an instant must be the most sublime sensation. Fulgrim almost wished to switch places with his brother, just to taste that feeling for himself. "Only dismal defeat and death await you, Ferus," said Fulgrim. "Horus has commanded your death, but for the sake of our past friendship, I shall plead your case to him if you throw down your arms. You have to surrender, Ferus. There is no escape." Ferus Manus tore his eyes from the slaughter of the loyalist forces, his teeth bared with the volcanic fury of his homeworld.
"Maybe not, traitor. But only dishonour holds any terror for me," spat Ferus. "The Emperor's loyal warriors will not surrender to you. Not now, not ever. You will have to kill every last one of us."
"So be it," said Fulgrim, launching himself towards Ferus Manus, swinging his mighty warhammer. The Primarch's weapons, forged in brotherhood but wielded in vengeance, met in a blazing plume of energy, and the battlefield was illuminated for hundreds of meters by their ferocious energies. The two Primarchs traded blows with their monstrously powerful weapons, the strength to defeat armies and topple mountains unleashed as they fought like gods, forced to end their dispute in the realm of mortals. Ferus Manus wielded his flaming blade in fiery slashes, his every blow defeated by the ebony-hafted hammer he had borne in countless campaigns. Fulgrim swung his hammer in great looping arcs, its heavy head powerful enough to crush the armor of a titan to paste. Both warriors fought with hatred only brothers divided can muster, their armor dented, torn, and blackened by the fury of their conflict. To fight an opponent of such magnificence was a privilege, and Fulgrim savoured every clash of hammer and sword, every fiery line cut across his flesh, and every grunt of pain torn from his brother's mouth as Forgebreaker glanced his armour. They circled in the midst of cries of pain and roaring savage glee, the Morlocks of Ferus Manus slain, but for a last few desperate heroes. Ferus cut the shoulder guard from Fulgrim's armour and spun inside his guard to deliver a lethal thrust towards his groin. Fulgrim stepped to meet the blow, batting aside the tip of the fiery sword with the haft of Forgebreaker and hammering the warhammer's head towards Ferus's skull. The Primarch of the Iron Hands took the blow, dropping to one knee and lashing out with his blade as blood streamed from the terrible wound in his temple. The sword's fiery tip cut across Fulgrim's stomach, opening his armour and tearing through his flesh. The pain was indescribable, and Fulgrim fell back, dropping his hammer as his hands sought to stem the blood pouring from his body. Both Primarchs faced each other on their knees through a haze of pain and blood, and Fulgrim once again felt an ache of sadness well within him. The pain of his wounds and the sight of his brother's broken skull coated in blood tore a window into his mind. The sensation was like a powerful gust of fresh mountain air clearing away the fog that had wrapped him in a suffocating embrace for so long that he no longer noticed it until it was gone. "My brother," he whispered, "my friend."
"You have long since lost the right to call me friend," snarled Ferus, pushing himself to his feet and staggering towards Fulgrim with fireblade raised to smite him.
Fulgrim cried out, and his hand leapt unbidden to his waist as the flaming blade carved a burning path towards his neck. Silver steel flashed as he drew the sword he had taken from the Lair Temple and blocked the descending weapon. Ferus's sword hissed and spat as it bit into the silver blade, the Primarch of the Iron Hand's strength forcing the blazing metal centimetre by centimetre towards Fulgrim's face.
"No," cried Fulgrim, "this is not right."
The amethyst stone at the hilt of Fulgrim's sword pulsed with an evil light, bathing Ferus Manus's face in a leering purple glare. Energy streamed from the blade, and musky smoke billowed around them, deadening sounds and obscuring sight. Fulgrim felt a monstrous presence swell around him, its power and nameless essence more intoxicating and dreadful than anything he could ever have imagined. Diabolical strength flooded his limbs, and he pushed against the power of Ferus Manus, feeling his brother's surprise at his resistance. With a cry of animal rage, he surged to his feet and hurled Ferus Manus back, spinning and lashing out with his sword. The silver edge bit deep into the breastplate of his brother's armour, and the Primarch of the Iron Hands cried out, falling to his knees once again, as the blade's flaring energies parted his dark armour like a fingernail through cold grease. Hot blood sprayed from the wound, and fire blades slid from Ferris's hand as he gasped in fierce agony.
"Finish him! Kill him!"
the voice screamed, and to Fulgrim it seemed as though it echoed across time and space, as well as within his skull. He staggered with the blunt force of its imperative, lurching as though his limbs were not his to control. His normal grace and elan were forsaken as he falteringly raised the silver sword in preparation of delivering the death blow to Ferus Manus. Unknown energies coruscated along the notched blade and down the length of his arms into the meat and bone of his wounded body. Fulgrim was wreathed in purple fire. Crackling arcs of lightning caressed him with a lover's tenderness, seeking out his open wounds and licking them with balefire as they sought entry to his flesh. Fulgrim stood above Ferus Manus, his chest heaving convulsively as his entire body shook with the violence of the power that sought to claim him.
"He must die, otherwise he will kill you!"
Fulgrim looked down at his defeated opponent and saw his own reflection in the mirrors of Ferris's eyes. In an instant that stretched for an eternity, he saw what he had become and what monstrous betrayal he had allowed himself to be party to. He knew in that eternal moment that he had made a terrible mistake in drawing the sword from the Lair Temple, and he fought to release the damnable blade that had brought him so low. His grip was locked onto the weapon, and even as he recognized how far he had fallen, he knew that he had come too far to stop. The realization, coupled with the knowledge that everything he had striven for had been a lie. As though moving in slow motion, Fulgrim saw Ferus Manus reaching for his fallen sword, his fingers closing around the wire-wound grip, the flames leaping once more to the blade at its creator's touch.
"Kill him before he kills you! Now!"
Fulgrim's blade seemed to move with a life of its own, but it had no need of such impellence, for he swung the blade of his own volition. The silver blade clove the air as it swept towards Ferus Manus, and Fulgrim felt the ancient triumph of the presence that he now knew had dwelt within it all this time. He tried desperately to pull the blow, but his muscles were no longer his own to control. Unnatural warp-forged steel met the iron flesh of a Primarch, its aberrant edge cutting through Ferris's skin, muscle and bone with a shrieking howl that echoed in realms beyond those knowable to mortals. Blood and the monumental energies bound within the meat and gristle of one of the Emperor's sons erupted from the wound, and Fulgrim fell back as the searing powers blinded him, dropping the silver sword at his side. He heard a shrieking wail as of a choir of banshees whip around him as phantom skeletal hands clawed at him and a thousand voices tore at his mind. Ghostly whirlwinds seized him and spun him around, twisting him like a limp rag in their grip, and threatening to tear him limb from limb in retribution. Even as he welcomed such oblivion, he felt another presence move to protect him, the same presence that had guided his sword arm, the same presence that had been his constant companion since Laren, though he had not known it. Fulgrim fell to the ground as the winds released him and faded with a shrieking howl of anguished frustration. He landed heavily and rolled onto his side, heaving great gulps of cold air into his lungs as the sound of battle returned to him. He heard cries of pain, gunfire, explosions, and the rhythmic crack of bolters as they fired relentless volley after volley. It was the sound of death. It was the sound of a massacre. His entire body aching with pain and loss, Fulgrim pushed himself upright. Blood and the detritus of battle surrounded him, the stoic figures of armored warriors staring in wonder at the headless body that lay on the black ground before him. Fulgrim took a shuddering breath and raised his hands to the heavens, screaming his loss at the sight of his brother so cruelly murdered.
"What have I done?" he howled. "Throne, save me! What have I done?"
"What needed to be done?"
Fulgrim heard the voice as a sibilant whisper in his ear, the breath of the speaker hot on his neck. He twisted his neck, but there was nothing to be seen, no unseen speaker or mysterious presence.
"He's dead,"
whispered Fulgrim, the aching loss and guilt of his crime too monstrous to believe.
"I killed him."
"Yes, you did. With your own hands you struck down your brother, he who had only thought well of you and fought faithfully with you through all the long years.
He was my brother.
He was, and all he ever did was honour you.
The looming presence that surrounded him and spoke to him seemed to claw at his eyes with insubstantial fingers, and Fulgrim felt his mind wrenched into the realm of memory, seeing once again the battle against the Diasporics and the Fist of Iron coming to the rescue of the Firebird. He saw the resentment he had picked at for months, only now understanding the altruism of Ferus Manus's deed and the loss of life his selfless act had incurred. Where before he had seen only self-aggrandizement in his brother's action, he now saw it for the heroic deed it had truly been. His brother's critical comments, the wounding darts meant to undermine him, he now saw had been jests, designed to puncture his self-importance and restore his humility. What he had perceived as Ferris's prideful boasts and rash actions had been deeds of courage that he had spitefully dismissed. Ferris's rejection of his attempt to betray him was the act of a true friend, but only now did he see how his brother had, even then, tried to save him.
No... No, no,
wept Fulgrim, as the true horror of what he had done struck him with the force of a thunderbolt. He looked around through tear-filled eyes and saw the horrific changes wrought upon his beloved legion, the perversions that masqueraded as Epicurean pleasure.
Everything I have done is ashes,
he whispered, and swept up the golden fireblade, so recently wielded by his brother in an attempt to undo the evil Fulgrim had embraced. Fulgrim reversed the blade and held its fiery tip against his body, the edge blackening his hands and burning the skin through the rents torn in his armour. To end things now would be the easiest thing in the world, to take away the guilt and wash the pain away in a sharp thrust of steel into his vitals. Fulgrim gripped the sword tightly, drawing blood from his palms where the blade's edge sliced his skin.
No, noble suicide is not for the likes of you, Fulgrim.
Then what?
Howled Fulgrim, hurling away the sword his brother had forged.
Oblivion, the sweet emptiness of eternal peace. I can grant you what you crave, an end to guilt and pain.
Fulgrim rose to his feet and stood tall beneath the storm-racked clouds of Istvan V, his once beautiful face streaked with tears, and his pristine armour stained with the blood of his beloved brother. Fulgrim lifted his hands and looked at the blood there.
Oblivion, he said, his voice hoarse. Yes, I crave the boon of nothingness.
Then leave yourself open to me, and I will put an end to it all.
Fulgrim took a last look around. The grim-faced warriors who had foolishly thrown in their lot with the War Master, Marius, Julius and thousands more were damned, and they could not see it. All around him he could hear the sounds of the future, of warfare and death. The thought that he shared the guilt of the destruction of the Emperor's dream was the greatest shame and sorrow he had ever known. An end to it all would be a blessed relief.
Oblivion, he whispered as he closed his eyes. Do it. End me.
The barriers in Fulgrim's mind dropped, and he felt the elation of a creature older than time as it poured into the void in his soul. No sooner had its touch claimed his flesh for its own than he knew he had made the worst mistake of his life. Fulgrim screamed as he fought to keep it out, but it was already too late. His consciousness was crushed into the dark, unused corners of his mind, forever to be a mute witness to the havoc wrought by his body's new master. One moment Fulgrim was a Primarch, one of the Emperor's children. The next, he was a thing of chaos.